I'd like to invite us tonight over to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, verse 12. 1 Kings, chapter 17, verse 12. 1 Kings, chapter 17, verse 12 reads this way. It says, "And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We do thank you, Lord, for the blessing of your presence in our midst. And so, Lord, we pray for the filling of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, that we might hear from you tonight. Lord, ultimately, that you would be honored and glorified and our faith strengthened in you. Lord, that you might use us as vessels for your honor and glory. May we truly be the light of the world that you've called us to be. Bless your word, bless your people tonight, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message tonight is that we may eat it and die, but on a happier note, when all else fails, there is God. When all else fails, there is God. So tonight we just want to consider a couple of thoughts here tonight in this event that was taking place. Elijah comes on the scene and the Lord does some work for him and he's taken care of. He declares a drought, does he not? And everything's withering away and everything's dying. And now the Lord sends him to the next venture in his walk with the Lord, as the Lord sends us. And I want you to keep this thought in mind. Here we're going to take a look at this widow woman and her faith, or her trust in the Lord. We'll call that the same thing. And the opportunity that God gives to her. But let's not forget also that Elijah is also experiencing these things in his own life. Now, he has confidence in God, but every time God, you never get tired of the promises of God and God's faithfulness coming to pass in our lives. You never get tired of that. You never say, oh, that's old hat. Oh, no, listen, it's amazing every time God comes through, and it just continually builds our faith in the Lord. So we're going to look at Elijah's trust in God. That's going to be the first thought. The second thought is going to be the widow woman's faith or trust opportunity. And then the last thought will be the widow woman's trust in God. And that is ultimately what the work of God is trying to do, to work faith or trust in our lives towards the Lord, that we might have our faith in Him and not in the things that are temporal, that are passing away, but in that which is eternal. And what is that which is eternal? God. God is the one that's eternal. When Solomon built the temple for the Lord, he said, "Oh Lord, the heaven of heavens, plural, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee." And so Lord, here we've got this temple that you've allowed us to build, and we just want you to meet with us there. When we face towards the temple, Lord, that you would just meet with us, knowing that we honor you. But what he was saying is, I know that the heaven, listen, fathom that thought, the heaven of heavens cannot contain the Lord. Boy, we have a big God, and we praise the Lord for that. So let's consider this again as we look at this account here, Elijah's trust in the Lord. Notice what it says here, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold," listen, "I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Now, did God give him a picture? Did God say, "Here, I want you to see this widow woman"? He didn't see her. Did he say, "I want to give you an inventory of what she owns"? She didn't own anything, did she? She was down and out, is what she was. She may have had something at one time, but this famine 3 years put everybody in a bad situation. And so he's going by faith. In other words, he's just trusting the Lord. The Lord didn't say, "This is what you should expect," or "This is what you shouldn't expect." He just said, "Go, and this is what I'm going to do." And Elijah went. And that's because he previously, in his past experience with the Lord, he always knew that the Lord would meet every one of our needs, even his needs specifically, even if it didn't appear to be so. Listen, God takes the unordinary and makes it extraordinary. And so notice what's happening here. Verse 10, so what does he do? By faith, he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. So you got to imagine here, he's expecting this woman to take care of his feeding, right? That's what the Lord said. But really, he's not looking to the woman. Who's he looking to? He's looking to the Lord. See, the Lord said, listen, I have done this. I will take care of this. You go and I will take care of this. The widow woman. Now, listen, God being all knowing, this does not interfere with our choice at all. But God already knew what this widow woman's choice was going to be. Do you think he picked an ungodly woman or a woman that feared the Lord? He, of course, picks women that fear the Lord. Listen, his servants are those who fear God. And so he was wanting to work in her life. Is that not right? And by the way, he was also working in Elijah's life. Amen. And fathom this thought. With this story, he's working in your life and mine. Amen. And so he's wanting us to know that he is faithful even when it doesn't make sense. And if you would tell a lost person, this poor widow woman will take care of you, they wouldn't go. They'd say, no way am I taking a chance on that. That's because they don't know God. But see, when we know the Lord, we know God works the possible out of the impossible. And so here we find this situation where he goes and finds her there gathering sticks. And notice what he does. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, this reminds me also of the Lord coming up to Peter's boat after he'd been fishing all night and washed his nets and was putting everything away. And the Lord said, hey, listen, I want you to thrust out a little bit. He didn't say it. The first thing he didn't say was, let's go out fishing. He didn't do that because he knew where Peter was at. Peter was physically tired. Listen, the Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. And so here's this widow woman. And so what is it that he asks for? A drink of water. Now, you have to remember, water was a precious commodity. But there was less food. There was probably this woman had this water. She could give him a drink. And now notice what happens as she's going. Verse 11, and as she was going to fetch the water, he called to her as she was going. Did you see that? So listen, ma'am. I need you to get me a little bit of water. Okay, I'll go. He didn't say, now listen, I need you to get me water and food. No, he said, get me some water. And as she was going, the timing's all important. As she was going, he called to her and said, verse 11, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Now we find this is, listen, in and through trials, God reveals his provisions. In and through trials. You know what? Listen, trials, what makes a trial? A predicament that we can't fix ourselves. That's a trial. And so this was a trial in this woman's life. By the way, don't forget, Elijah was also going to experience the work of God. What was he going to see? He had seen it before. But this was just solidifying, making it more solid of his dependence on God's great faithfulness. And so she turns around, verse 12 here, and this is the widow's situation. And let me ask you this. Did God know her situation? Yeah. Does God know our situation? Absolutely, he does. So here it is. And she said, verse 12, as the Lord thy God liveth. So she knew, no doubt, this was a prophet of God. And because he said, listen, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel. A handful, just a handful. Put your hand like this, and that's all she had, right? Just a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. So she had no problems getting water. She thought, you know what she was saying? This is our last meal. That's what she's saying. This is our last meal. And she had no hope of any other meal. And listen, fathom this thought. In her heart and mind, she said, we are going to die. She was resolved to that death. There was nothing more. Do you know, it's a good place for the child of God to realize that our life is in Christ. And he gives us what we need. And so she says, I want you to know my situation. And so now we look at this case right here where we find God's promise is always much better than our situation. Her situation was dismal, was it not? Her situation was not going to last very long. She thought she was going to die, and that would be the end of her situation. But God's promise is always better than our situation. So look at verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not." Boy, that's a good word. That's good two words, isn't it? Fear not. Fear not. Listen, that's what God says to you and I. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Listen, love casts out fear. We can't be afraid to trust in our loving Savior who created us and gave us everything that we need in our body to function and to live. And not only that, but food to live. All of these things God has provided. So Elijah says unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first." Now see, remember, you were going to get the two sticks and you were going to go ahead and make yourself one more meal. So go ahead and do what you said you were going to do. Remember, look, she said, "This is what I'm getting ready to do. I'm getting ready to take that handful and that cruise a little bit of oil and that was it, and these two sticks." So he says to her, "Take, go ahead and do what you said, and bring it to me, bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." So figure this out. She is thinking, well, now what little we had, we got it to part three ways. Possibly that was what she was thinking. Or she could have also been thinking, let's see what God's going to do this time. Let's see. Let's prove God. Let's trust God. Let's trust the Lord. That's probably really what she was thinking. I have nothing to lose in trusting the Lord. Listen to the promise. Listen to what he said here. "For thus saith the Lord," verse 14, "for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel shall not waste." You see, the Lord didn't give her an empty promise. Elijah wasn't done. She hadn't left yet. He's telling her what the Lord says. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel." To who? To this widow woman. To this widow woman. Listen, you and I have all of the promises of God in the New Testament to you and me personally, to you and I personally, all right? So watch this. "The barrel," in verse 14, "the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail." Wow. And by the way, listen, did she have any reason at all to trust the Lord? Did she have any prior account of God's great faithfulness to the people of Israel before this situation? Can she look to Abraham? Can she look to Isaac? Can she look to Jacob? Can she look to Joseph? Can she look to God freeing the Israelites at the hand of Moses and the parting of the Red Sea and the manna provided in the wilderness? Was there any reason or any cause for her to trust the Lord? Absolutely there is. And let me ask you this. Is there any reason for you and I to have the same trust in the Lord God? Absolutely we do. So notice what happens right here. He says, neither, verse 14, shall the cruse of oil fail when? Until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. What was it that stopped for 3 years? The rain. What was it that everybody wanted? Rain. So the Lord is telling her through the prophet, the word of God is coming to her and saying, "I want you to know you're going to have enough to eat until the rain comes." And so what happens here? Well, we find the widow woman now has an opportunity to put her faith or her trust in the Lord. So we find God's faithfulness to his word. And let me ask you this. Can we trust God to fulfill his promise to his chosen people today? Absolutely. So look at verse 15 and we're done here. And when she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now, I want to ask you a question. Was this written down for her benefit or for ours? Because it was going on before probably it got written down. Amen? And so this was written down for you and I. Why? To solidify our trust or our faith in the promises of God. And that we would say, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to choose you today. I'm going to choose you every day. Why? Because you are worthy and you are faithful. I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. Oh, that's a big battle, isn't it? Just be serious with God and bring yourself to him and say, Lord, I don't want to trust myself anymore. I want to trust you. And but that's got to be something, you know, more than just an acknowledgement. It's got to be a prayer. God, so Lord, I'm going to seek you every day. And I'm going to ask you to make my prayer life a benefit and a glory, a benefit to me and a glory to you. I want to get caught up in prayer just talking to you. Here's how you start. I'm going to give you a little pointer here. Ready? Don't time your prayer. Just give God 1 minute at least. Just 1 minute. And let him take it. If 1 or 2 minutes is all, then stop right there. But just meet with God every day for a time of prayer. Amen. Just meet with the Lord every day with a time of prayer, for a time of prayer, and give yourself some time in case the Lord wants to take you further along in your relationship with him, where you can get caught up in the glory of God. And so it could be in the morning, it could be in the evening, and watch what God will do. Listen, God wants us to call upon him. That's prayer. And so as we just say, we make time for the Lord, and we say, Lord, show me how to trust you. Don't say, help me. I do that sometimes. No, God, don't help me. You show me. We're in Missouri, right? It's the show me state. God wants to show us. And so, Lord, I want you to show me how to walk with you. Don't say, I got this. No, we don't know. We don't know, as Solomon said. And by the way, he was a wise man. He was very wise. He wrote all kinds of Proverbs, did he not? And songs, and the whole world sought him out. They said during his time there was none wiser in the whole world, and no one ever had a kingdom like his ever again. And so God blessed him. And here's what the wisest man said. Lord, I don't know how to come or go. I need you to show me. And the Lord said, okay, because you asked that of me, and not great riches and all this other stuff, I'm going to give it all to you. Listen, I'm not saying we ought to ask God for great riches or to ask God to show us which way to go for anything else other than for God to show us how he would be honored and glorified in and through our lives, that we might be found worthy before the Lord as a faithful servant to our great God and Savior and King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We do thank you for all that you reveal to us. And Lord, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts and minds, that you would give us revival, and that you would help us to understand what it means to abide in you and you in us, and how to walk in that truth every day. Lord, give us a heart to hunger and thirst for you and your righteousness. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.